Romans chapter 6, from verse 15 to verse 23. Actually, I should include verse 14. 14 is the punchline. Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. These are the apostolic words to the believers at Rome, and they're words which are true for all believers, all who have a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. This is the climax of the argument Paul has been giving at this stage in his letter. We were born in Adam, but by God's sovereign grace we have been taken out of Adam and brought into Christ. We were under law, now we're under grace. We were under sin, but now we're under righteousness. We were under condemnation and wrath, bondage, death, but now we're in life and liberty and joy. Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, with Paul, as I've said, you can tell you're getting him because very often, as a master teacher, he raises immediately the objection that many might feel. This is a staggering statement. Believer, you are not under law, but under grace. It was staggering in Paul's day, it's staggering today. Although many believers do not understand it, the teaching of John Calvin, which really comes from the medieval church anyway, the threefold use of the law has dominated the Christian world this past 400 or 500 years. And although many don't realize it, the majority of believers are under a system of law. They realize that the law doesn't justify them, but they really do believe they're under the law of God for sanctification. But this text says, you are not under law, but under grace. And Paul has to ask this question, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid, by no means. But let me just pause a moment. Those who follow Calvin in his use on the law get round verse 14 by this. You are not under law for justification, but under grace. Did you notice the words I've added? They've added. Paul did not say that. He knew the words for justification. He's used the word justification time and again. Why didn't he say it? Because he didn't mean it. You are not under law, full stop. You are not in Adam, full stop. You're in Christ. You're not in condemnation, full stop. You're not in wrath, full stop. You're not in death. You're not in sin. You're not a slave to sin. You're not under law, full stop, but under grace. If the Reformed people are right, Calvin is right, Paul would never need to say, what then shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? If he'd said, you're not under law for justification, but you are under law for sanctification, he never, never, never would have asked, what then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? He only says that because he has just stated that we are not under law but under grace. That's the first point. My friend, if this sounds new to you and staggering to you, can I appeal to you? Read Romans 5, say from verse 12 to chapter 8, at the end of chapter 8, read Romans 5 to 8 aloud in more than one version, a version you're not used to perhaps. Just read it aloud, 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 again, 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 until you get it. Now, what did we have here in 15 to 23 of Romans 6? Paul illustrates his doctrine, again a master teacher, by two illustrations. He gives two illustrations to drive home his point. The first one we're looking at in this discourse. The next discourse will take up the next illustration. The first illustration is slavery, and the second illustration is marriage. Now, these are brief discourses. If you want to see my full argument, there are two books I've written. Christ is All, that's the full book. Christ is All, No Sanctification by the Law. But I've taken out of that book also the Romans section, Sanctification in Romans. Those two books will contain my arguments in full. The illustration of slavery. Well, the slave, we all know what a slave is. What is he saying here? It comes over and over again. We were, he says, slaves to sin. You'll get it, say, in verse 16. But you get it throughout the chapter. Slaves of sin, or verse 18, slaves to righteousness. You'll get it again as you go on down. Verse 20, slaves to sin. You get it there. But set free from sin, become slaves to God, and so on. Slavery. Every man, woman, and child is born a slave. A slave to sin, death, law, Adam. And if we die, slaves to sin, death, law, Adam, is everlasting death. But some, and Paul is writing to them, believers, are no longer slaves of sin. They are slaves to righteousness. They're no longer slaves to law. They're slaves to grace. They're no longer slaves to Adam. They are slaves to Christ. They're no longer getting wages of sin. They're receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This passage, this illustration, we're all a slave. We're either the slave of sin and death and law, or we're the slave of Christ, freedom, joy, righteousness, grace. The great question is, how do we move from one slavery to the other? How do we come out of Adam into Christ? How do we come out from law to grace, death to life, bondage to liberty, misery and wretchedness to joy, increasing joy, everlasting glory? Well, he's already told us in the beginning of chapter 6, it's by regeneration and conversion. The word baptism here is not water baptism. We are united to Christ when we are converted, when we are regenerated and brought to faith in Christ. We have it here in verse 17. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, that's where you were, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So how do we come out of Adam into Christ? How do we come out of law into grace? How do we come out of death into life, and so on? Slave of sin and slave to sin, to being a slave of Christ and righteousness, the gospel has to come to us, the form of teaching. The gospel has to come to us. We have to hear the gospel preached, read, read the scriptures, mother or father teaching us, or whatever it might be. In some way, the gospel has to come to us. We have to hear that we are sinners, that Christ died for sinners, and if we trust him and repent and turn to him, we shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The form of teaching comes to us. We're given up to it. It's given up to us. We're put under it. And what happens to it? you wholeheartedly obey it. What does that mean? You believe it, first of all. You accept the truth of what it says. That's in the head. But it's hearted, wholeheartedly. You receive in the heart. You receive in the heart. You receive Christ. You trust the Christ. You yield to the gospel. You bow the knee to Jesus. You say, Lord, be my Lord. Christ, be my Christ. Jesus, be my Jesus. Everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you call upon the name of the Lord. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you are justified. You cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you are justified. In other words, conversion. Conviction, conversion. Turning to Christ, trusting Christ. And in that experience, although at the time all we can think of is that we're trusting Christ, what is happening to us? We are being taken out of the realm of Adam into Christ. We're being removed from under any law and works, and we're under Christ. Grace. Everlasting salvation. And this is not simply justification. It's all here about living the life from then on. Slave of righteousness. Now, when he says we're delivered from sin and we're no longer slaves of sin, in ourselves, of course, we are still in the flesh. We shall not be perfect until everlasting glory time. But in the sight of God, in the truth before God, we are regarded as Christ, for we are in Christ. And therefore, we are completely free from sin in God's sight. And of course, as slaves of Christ now, we live under the law of Christ, not the law of Moses. We live for Christ, not legally, not fear, but out of love and devotion for him. Let me just read these verses to you and then make some application before I close. Let me just read the words, and I hope you'll see I'm not making it up. Remember the text. Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now the passage I've tried to discourse on. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God. It was God's work, you see. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe the teaching is plain. I believe those who think they were still under the law for sanctification, in the light of this chapter, in the light of this passage, can only be said of them that they're sitting deliberately against the light that Paul has given them here. Let me make three applications. Is there an unbeliever listening to me? You won't acknowledge it. You won't recognize it. You won't admit it. You may be respectable, I'm sure, let's assume you are. Religious. You might even be prayerful and all the rest of it. Read your Bible and all the rest of it. But you're out. You don't trust Christ. You're not in Christ yet. Then you're still a slave of sin, bondage, death, law. And if you die like that, my friend, you will perish. You must come into Christ, obey him in the gospel, trust him. You must receive him as your Savior and your Lord. Do so now, I plead with you. I say that in the light of this passage. The wages of sin is death for you, but the gift of God, if you will trust Christ, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Obey wholeheartedly the gospel then. I now address all believers who are listening to me. This may sound strange, heretical to you. Oh, this is antinomianism. Call me that if you will. Call me an antinomian if you will. I've only given you what I consider to be the pure teaching of this scripture here. But I stand to be corrected. Read my books, Christ is All and Sanctification in Romans. Find out where I'm wrong and please, please write to me. You have the email address there. Write to me and put me right for my sake. Discharge your responsibility to me if you think I'm wrong. But believer, will you read these passages aloud? Would you let these doctrines soak into you? You are free in Christ. You're no longer under law. This doesn't mean you will live a lawless life. You're under the law to Christ. You're under Christ and in Christ. And you will live for Christ. You will offer yourself as a slave to Christ. You will try to please Christ. You will want to please Christ. You will love to please Christ. It won't be wages. It'd be gift. It'd be a set free to, not to sin, set free though to be righteous, to be holy, become a slave to God, and the benefit you will reap is holiness, and the result will be eternal life. This is your assurance, my believing friend. This is your sanctification. This is your justification. This is your liberty. This is your hope. This is your all. Christ. Christ is all. That's my second application. My third application is to the preacher. The vast majority of preachers I hear are legal preachers. Even when they think they're preaching Christ, even when they think they're preaching sanctification or whatever, they're preaching law. Don't be a legal preacher. Set your mind and your heart determined to do this. To lift up nothing but Jesus Christ. Be resolved to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. This will sanctify the saints. This will save sinners. This will glorify God, for this is the gospel. The truth is, though, many, because of Calvin's teaching, because of the medieval church, the Roman church from where it came, because of that legal system, are wedded to law in their thinking. I would have you married to Jesus Christ. And I say that now. This passage is about slavery. I would have you a slave to Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ. Perfect freedom is this slavery. But I say about marriage because, of course, that takes me on to the illustration which comes in chapter 7, which will be the next discourse. A second illustration to drive home this very point. And what is this point? Romans 6:14. Sin shall not be your master, believer, because you are not under law, but under grace. Live in it. Enjoy it. Talk about it. Speak about it. Tell others about it. Rejoice in it. Proclaim it. You are not under law, but under grace.